And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to reflect upon the readings that we have heard this morning, but hone in on Peter's answer to Jesus as we heard it in the gospel reading in John chapter 6, verse 68. Simon Peter answered the Lord, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen." Dear saints, it is good. It is good. This is the Lord's refrain through the 6 days of creation. Light and dark, the Lord said, it is good. Land and sea, it is good. Stars, moon, and sun, it is good. Bird, fish, plants, and animals, it is good. And then there's Adam, and God looks at Adam, and you know what God says to Adam? It is not good. Interesting. But he qualifies that, it is not good for man to be alone. The goodness of creation is connected, you see, to life. If creation brings forth or supports life, it is good. Adam alone remains Adam alone. He can have no children, he can have no family, and that is not good until Eve, and then it is very good. Then, with the gift of marriage, then with the promise of children and the joy of life, then God rests from his work. And then guess what happens? The devil gets busy. He finds Adam and Eve in the garden, and he begins to nudge them towards death. And the nudge sounds like this. Did God really say? And let's not miss that point of that question. Did God really say? That's the way that Satan nudges Adam and Eve towards death. Did God really say that you are supposed to not eat of any of this fruit? Did God really say if you ate of that fruit, then you would die? You see, the devil begins his temptations by deceiving with these questions of doubt. And we see that his chief lie was really calling God out to be a liar. That's the greatest doubt that he creates in their hearts and minds, is that now they think that God might be a liar. And yet, what does God clearly declare? God's word is truth. God's word is life. If the devil wants us to die, and it's certainly his goal, that's exactly what he wants. You see, he's going to tempt us away from the word of God. Death comes with doubt. Adam and Eve are tempted away from the word, and in so doing, they're tempted away from life. They ate, they died, and we and everything else in the cosmos are dying with them. We often lament, don't we, that ours is a culture of death. And no doubt this is true. Life is vulnerable at the beginning and the end, and it's devalued all the way through. We don't have to look very far to see that in our culture today. We mourn the slaughter of babies and lament the medical murdering of our elderly. But it's important for us to remember that humanity's funeral march began long before Roe versus Wade. And the push for legalized euthanasia began long before that era in our political world. It began in the garden. It began with that question of doubt. Did God really say? And it continues to march at that very same beat this very day. But the good news is that it is this funeral march that Jesus came to stop. Jesus is not content with our dying. He is not happy to stand by and watch us fall into the grave and come to condemnation. In fact, what does Jesus say in John chapter 10? I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. You see, Jesus interrupts our death with his life. He interrupts our sin with his holiness. He interrupts our rebellion with his obedience and with his crucifixion. He takes our sin, our punishment, the wrath we deserve. He holds himself fully accountable for our sin. And he suffers in our place. His death is Adam's death and Eve's death and our death. His agony is what we deserved. He bears our sin that we would know God's mercy, that we would know God's grace and his compassion, his forgiveness, and his life that never ends. And he gives all of this to us where? In his word. In his word, the Holy Bible that you and I are blessed to have, to be able to open in our own language and to read and to know that God is speaking through this word to you and me. In John chapter 6, Jesus is giving a difficult teaching. Might want to read that chapter sometime today. He is the bread from heaven, he proclaims. And this is in the context. Remember when Jesus miraculously fed the thousands with just a little bit of food that was available to them? And so he has these multitudes that are following him, and they're following him for the physical food. But he is God and man, united in one person. As he proclaims that in the context of this following of the multitudes, he is the hope and the life of the world as Jesus proclaims that to them. And listen to what he says in John chapter 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Well, this was just simply too much for the crowds that had gathered. There were thousands who were following Jesus in the wilderness, and again, following him because they knew he was providing for them physical food. But upon these teachings, they don't stay. They don't stay for the living word in their midst. And Jesus sees that they're all leaving, and he turns to his disciples and he asks, "Do you want to leave as well?" You know, that's a question we need to ponder, don't we, even in our own hearts and minds, as we hear the hard word of God sometimes in light of the culture and its thinking today, in light of the doubts that Satan loves to tempt us with. Do I want to leave as well? Well, Peter answers beautifully, and we with him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And God be praised. Peter sees with a divine clarity what you and I must also see. And it's this, that Jesus has the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words that overcame death. Jesus has the words that will pull us out of the grave on the last day. Jesus has the words that defeated that old evil foe of Satan. Jesus has the words that forgive sin. His words are words of eternal life. Are we willing to listen as he speaks? And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are blessed to have and to know these words. You have the word of Jesus, the one who died for you on that cross. You have the words of Jesus who rose victoriously from the grave. You hear his voice. You know his name. You believe what he says. But it's also true that the tempter comes. Satan doesn't give up easily. And he comes to tempt you and me as he did Adam and Eve in the garden with that very same question. Did God really say? You know, as Lindy and I were blessed to sit in on the recording for this broadcast with Dr. Kathy Altman, it just ripped my heart out almost as I listened to her, and it became very painful for her. And she said that her dad was fought in World War II, and he was one of the first to arrive at the first Holocaust camp. And just to see the death, the slaughter that went on there. And then she broke down in tears. And she said, I did the same thing. I did the same thing, encouraging women to get abortions, taking one of my own children. I did the same thing. And I think she's still battling, only God knows her heart, with did God really say? I know she knows. But it's so hard. That tremendous guilt that you and I can live with. And certainly in light of this issue as adults, men and women, probably many of us in this room have contemplated this. Or maybe we've participated in it. I remember one of our members, a nurse years ago, worked with elderly and in nursing homes, and there was a woman in her 90s that finally opened up. First time in her entire life she had opened up about the abortion that she had had years ago and began weeping before this nurse as she shared the story. When we doubt God's word, when we doubt his truth, when we stray away from that truth, it can only bring death. But we know the Lord of life. And when we hear that little voice and the pain of our own guilt, did God really say he loves you? Did God really say your sins are forgiven? And we can say yes. Yes, because it's right here in the Word. The Lord speaks to our hearts and he says yes. Did God really say that you are saved by grace through faith, not by your works? Yes. Did God really say that we will be raised on the last day? And the answer is yes. Did God really say that we will live forever with him in glory, where the corruption of sin no longer exists? And God's answer is a resounding yes, 1,000 times yes. You see, Jesus has the words of eternal life. And these words and promises are ours. This eternal life is ours. God be praised. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our living Lord, and may we hear ever so clearly the word of life that he speaks to us. Amen.